Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
Based in Santa Ana, California, BioAno Power provides the highest performance lithium-ion phosphate batteries for the marine market. These batteries are one quarter the weight of sealed lead-acid batteries, provide over 2,000 to 3,000 charge cycles, and a 10-plus year service life. These batteries can be used for any deep cycle application, including running fish finders, trolling motors, live wells, and LED lights. For more information, visit BioAnoPower.com. That's BioAnoPower.com. Or contact dealers nationwide.
Welcome to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. This is the final cast segment with your hosts, Brad Hicks and Josh Eldridge, where we cast our final opinions on all products, good and bad. Welcome to the final cast.
You're listening to the final cast on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm Brad.
I'm Armando.
Trash, what's up, man?
Panda? Trash Panda 2.0?
Yeah, Panda. There you go. There you go. Thanks for filling in for Josh this week, man.
No problem, man.
Yeah, so how you doing?
Pretty good, man. How you doing? How was your weekend? PB, right? New PB?
Yes, dude. I'm doing good. I broke my PB smallmouth. Hit 20 inches, finally. I've been trying to catch that fish for 8 years now. Nice. Finally did it. So
how did it feel?
I'm jacked. I was like, you know, I probably screamed on the river and people were looking at me, but it's all good.
Did you use any curse words?
No. No, it's all good. But yeah, dude, I'm pumped. I had a good day.
What you catching on?
Wacky rig, black and blue, Strike King Ocho.
Nice.
Yeah. And actually using the LRS 744F rod.
That's
or
a
no,
rod.
It was the 704F, my bad.
I think I have the 744, but on the X Matrix side, the Douglas rods.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, speaking of Douglas rods, we have Caleb Conrad, conventional sales lead of Douglas rods on the show. We're going to talk about Douglas Outdoors and the rods and everything. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on tonight and talk about Douglas.
Heck yeah. We are too, man. Me and Armando love Douglas rods. So.
Absolutely. I mean, they're unreal. Anyone who uses them, you know, can tell you.
Yeah. Last time we had a Douglas rod show, we didn't really get into specifics. We talked a little bit about them, not the construction of them. You guys have some new products that we're going to talk about too today. So,
yeah,
for sure. Let's start off with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do, what kind of fish, your favorite fish to catch, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm kind of unique in that I'm actually from Brooklyn, New York, New York City. So I was born and raised in Brooklyn, lived there till I was 18. And, you know, fishing is not really popular in an urban setting like that. Like, none of my friends fished. It was my dad that introduced me to it. when I was probably like 5 or 6 years old, we were at a family friend's house in Pennsylvania, and they had a farm pond. And like the first bluegill I caught, it was just like instantly, you know, hooked. I'm sure, you know, most people have a story like that, you know, very similar, but you know, I was obsessed with it. And in high school, I was playing music. I played the drums and I was in bands and kind of fell out of fishing a little bit, and then got back into it at college and joined at my college. They had a bass team, so kind of discovered my love for tournament fishing there. And my first college tournament that freshman year of college, like waiting to blast off, I was just like, this is it, man. Like, this is what I want to do, you know. Like, a light bulb went off, and kind of from that point, you know, that was like, I guess 6 years ago now, 7 years almost. I've been just pursuing that dream to the fullest, and that takes me to, you know, present day. I've only been at Douglas for 2 months now, and how I actually found out about them is just through word of mouth. You know, the rods are getting really, really hot up in the Northeast, and I was looking for a new rod company, and one of my buddies was like, dude, check out Douglas. Like, these things are the deal, you know? And so I picked up a couple, and they're unreal. They're some of the best rods on the market, in my opinion. I've been using them for a year before I even started working for them. And I was, you know, fortunate enough that they had this position open, and here I am.
And I got kind of a similar story like that, because you mentioned you played in bands and stuff. I did the same thing when I was in my early 20s.
Nice.
Playing local shows, and then all of a sudden I quit doing that and I started fishing the river about eight years ago.
it's funny how like hobbies kind of come and go, you know, as you progress in life. I'm one of those people who are like, I get obsessed, you know, when I pick up something that I like, it's like all I could think about, it just consumes my life. So that's kind of fishing for me right now.
It's funny how kind of like we all have that story that we, you know, dad would take us fishing, and kind of around the age when you figure out you like, you know, like girls, that's when fishing kind of takes a back seat and start looking for
cool
things that girls like, or playing bands. In my case, it was surfing and all that. So it's kind of funny how it correlates.
Yeah, but now fishing's cool though. Yeah. So fishing actually gets you girls now.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, but
yeah. I was gonna say, once you figure it out, it's kind of overrated, but then I think I get in trouble and you go back to fishing. I think my wife wouldn't like that comment, but I'm just kidding.
That's awesome, man. Well, we're gonna start off with talking about some new products you guys just released. Before the show, we talked about the new lipless and crankbait rod, so let's talk about that.
Yeah, so that's one thing that's really unique about Douglas is our rod lineup is really deep. I mean, we have like over 50 SKUs just in our spinning and casting rods, and that's kind of one thing that I think makes us, you know, stand out from other rod companies. We're very technique specific. You know, we like to have a rod for everything, and our rod designer, Fred Contawi, he's a true mastermind. He lives out in California. He's been in the industry for a long time. I kind of describe him as like an Aaron Weeb. Like, I don't know if you guys know Uncut Angling, but he's just a really good multi-species angler. He's an insane salmon steelhead fisherman, an insane bass fisherman. And so this new lipless crankbait rod, he actually developed with John Pearl, who is a West Coast hammer. He's, you know, he wins a lot of tournaments on Clear Lake and some other lakes. I don't even know all of them out there. But together, they put together this lipless vibration rod because they felt like there was nothing else on the market that was doing what they wanted, you know, performance wise. And so this rod is called the Lipless Vibration. It's the 763. It just came out a couple months ago, and it's designed for lipless crankbaits, but really it's a phenomenal light crankbait rod in general, like square bills, you know, just any type of wiggle wart, small, any type of light crankbait. And so it's 7.6, so it's a little bit longer than your traditional crankbait rod. And I think that's one of the biggest things that, you know, makes it stand out. So you're going to get a longer cast. And John Pearl actually has videos, you know, because he's the one who really helped, you know, design it. But when he's yo-yoing that lipless crankbait, the longer rod helps to keep the fish pinned. Like if it bites at the top of a yo-yo, you know, it's a little bit easier for him to hook that fish and keep it pinned. So he just really, you know, likes it for those two reasons. But it's an insane rod. I've been playing with it. I was down at the Chesapeake actually 2 weeks ago, and throwing lipless crankbaits. And I mean, I was bombing them for miles, and it's just an unreal rod.
Seems like that longer rod is more popular nowadays than it used to
be. Yeah,
sure.
It's becoming more and more popular. I also think the action on it is just super unique. It's got a lot of bend to it. You know, it's very light and moderate. It's in your hand, it's a super lightweight rod, and the sensitivity is just unreal. I mean, you can feel your crankbait knocking off everything down there.
Mm-hmm. That moderate rods, man, they perfect for anything treble hooks, yeah. In my opinion.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes you might want a little bit stiffer rod, like if you're fishing around wood with a square bill or something. But like you said, by far, you know, that you want a moderate rod for anything with trebles.
Yeah. Well, unless you're throwing a whopper plopper, I don't know if I'd want a.
Yeah, true. Top water is, yeah, a little bit different. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe throwing a popper, I might try it, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll say real quick, one other rod we have too on the spinning side. It's the 683 we just came out with this year, and that also is an insane rod. I'm calling that like our Ned Rig rod. It's available also in LRS, and it's very similar. You guys have probably used the 610. That's like my favorite spinning rod that we have, the 610 XF, and it's very similar to that. It's just a little bit shorter and a little bit, you know, a little bit lighter action, I'd say, but very similar. And that's a lot of our guys up here using it for perch and walleye as well as smallmouth. And I call that our Ned Rig rod, really.
I actually have that rod, and I use it for bass fishing. Man, you catch it. I think the biggest bass that I've caught on that one. And I use it, you know, it's kind of like technique specific, you know, like you said, it's like, it's very light, but yeah. I used it for bass fishing a couple of times, and I hooked into like an 18-inch bass. Oh my god, that felt like like a 15-pounder. It was super fun. It is super fun to try it out on. It's great for skipping too. Skipping senkos. Oh my god.
Oh, absolutely. And it can, and even though it's light, it still has enough backbone to where it can handle bigger fish. I mean, we have one of our shops, one of the owner of them, he was out fishing on Oneida Lake last week, and he said he caught a 20-pound drum on that rod.
Wow.
And had no issues, didn't break, got into the boat and everything. So
wow.
No, it's one of my favorite rods. Like I said, it's very technique specific, but I love it.
Yeah.
I have the 610-3 XF X Matrix rod. Amazing.
That's my favorite spinning rod we make, dude. That rod is unreal. I've caught a lot of big smallmouth on that rod.
Yep, me too. And the thing is, a lot of people are using the 610 fast action, and this is my first time using an extra fast action for a Ned Rig.
Okay.
I love it. I love it. I don't lose as many fish as I do with a fast tip.
Absolutely.
The extra fast tip is a must for me now.
Absolutely. I feel like you detect bites better too when you're fishing something like a drop shot or a Ned Rig. Something really subtle, that extra fast tip just helps you feel every little thing that's going on down there.
Yeah, it just feels real nice and stiff too. I just like it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that I noticed, you see, you know, as Brad and I will tell you, there's and everybody that does podcasts when it comes to fishing and kayak fishing, we always like to be on groups and kind of get a pulse of what's out there. And one of the things that I've noticed a lot on blogs and on groups on Facebook is a lot of people saying, well, why buy a $200 rod? Why? What? Like, some people are like, yeah, no, I don't need it. No, you really don't. You can fish with any rod. But I think it's one of those underrated things. When I started kayak fishing, I thought, well, the mechanics of a reel, you know, I should be spending more on reel. And if I don't have the money for expensive combo, I'll just get the real nice expensive reel and I'll settle for a cheap rod. I got better fishing, I realized, no, it's totally the opposite. I mean, ideally, you have a great reel and a great rod, but if you need to cut corners, I feel like now, after about 4 years of bass fishing, I realized, no, the most important part of your equipment is definitely a rod. And the difference between me when I started using chatterbaits, I love chatterbaits. I had like a $100 rod from Bass Pro Shop. And I was missing so many fish, no matter how hard.
Yep.
I set the hook. I was just missing so much. And finally, when I got into Douglas and I started using that 7.6, I think it's medium, moderate fast action. I mean, I honestly don't remember maybe once or twice have I lost the fish on the chatterbait, and mostly because I've slagged on this, on the hook set or other mistakes, just reaching for the net or something. But I mean, the hookup ratio, anybody that's out there, you know, considering why should I get a great rod or spend more money on rods, the hookup ratio on a great rod is a lot better than any less than cheap rod or anything less than $100.
Absolutely. And it's actually funny that you mentioned that story, because I had a very similar experience to you when I first got into fishing. You know, I'm really cheap just in general. Like, I don't like to spend money unless I have to. And so I've always been the guy who just kind of has a hodgepodge of like cheap rods and reels and just whatever I can throw together. And once I started getting into higher end rods, I had the same exact experience. I was like, man, like, you feel more with these and you catch more with these. And I'll tell two stories, actually. One just happened yesterday, a good example of why you should spend money on a nice rod. So I was fishing a preseason tournament with my buddy Brandon Exner on Onondaga Lake. I love that lake. It's like our home lake. And what had happened in New York is the water temp was warming up nicely. You know, the weather was nice. And then in the last 2 weeks, it really has gotten cold. And the water temp dropped like 5 to 7 degrees just in like a 1 week period. And so the fish were kind of pushed back on rock a little bit deeper, and they were kind of lethargic, really. Like, we pulled up in the morning, we banged a few real quick, and then they just shut off. They did not want to touch anything. And what I found out was you had to throw out your jig and you pretty much had to dead stick it. Like, you had to get it in a rock and just let it sit. And you wouldn't, like, they weren't hitting it hard. What they would do is come up and it'd feel like you had like a bluegill tapping it, and like you'd see your line get tight. So with the Douglas rod, I was using the 7.45 in the Matrix series. With that rod, I could literally feel them, like when their nose would just start to touch the jig, I could feel that. And I truly believe that with my old rods I was using, I would have never been able to feel that bite, and I would have never been able to get onto that dead stick pattern. Mm-hmm. Like, the more and more I use these rods, the more I'm like, man, how many fish was I not catching, you know, because I was using cheap rods, you know, just like almost kicking myself, like, man, why didn't I do this sooner? And I mean, I really credit that to that rod I was using, that 7.45. And once we figured that deal out, I mean, we just started jacking them. Like, they were, you know, they weren't biting it hard, but they were biting it. And yeah. Just having that rod, I think, made all the difference. And then another quick story I'll tell real quick is my buddy Brandon. He used to throw the Kitech jig. I don't know if you guys, you know, throw that jig at all, but it's one of my favorite jigs to throw. And he used to lose fish on it left and right. And he would ask me, man, like, do you have a problem with this jig losing fish? I'm like, nah, dude, I don't know what's going on. And it turned out it was the rod he was using. Mm-hmm. The rod, it was partially because it wasn't the right action, but also it was a cheaper rod. And it just, he'd get the bite and he couldn't keep him pinned. He switched to the Douglas 7.55, I believe he has, that he's thrown. And he's like, dude, I haven't lost a single bass since switching. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that goes to show, like, those two examples right there. I mean, that's why you buy a nicer rod, like a Douglas rod. You're going to feel more bites and you're going to catch more fish with them. It's really that simple.
Yeah. And it's like I said earlier, that just the simple fact of having the fast tip versus extra fast tip makes all the difference in the world. Cause I came from Abu Garcia Villain 2.0 rod to the X Matrix rod, and it was night and day difference.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And one of the things about it, like Brad mentioned, the light weight, how amazingly, I'm blown away. And everybody that I've lent a rod to and mm-hmm. asked them their opinion when I take them to dealers that have yep. don't know about Douglas, the first thing that pops in their mind, the first thing they'll say is like, this is super lightweight. Yep. I can't believe this lightweight. I went fishing at a tournament and I showed the rod to Matthew Scotch. I had my favorite Douglas rod is the 8 foot heavy fast action, the one for big swim baits. It's rated up from 2 ounces to 6 ounces.
Yeah, yeah.
And I showed it to Matthew Scotch, and I had like a 3 ounce swim bait on it. And he's like, oh, he grabbed the rod. He's like, oh, it's a cool rod for like small swim bait. I'm like, no, Matthew, check it out. See, this is rated for 6 ounces. It's like, no, I can't believe that. He went and started casting on the bank. And he's like, no, this is a great rod. Like when he first grabbed this, it's like, no way. There's no way that it has 6 ounces. I'm like, go ahead, give it a try. And give me, obviously, Matthew Scott. Everybody, I know a lot of my audience from my podcast are from Texas. Yeah. Matthew Scott's one of the best anglers out there.
Yep.
And he was telling me, no, this is a great rod. You know, it did not feel. When I started into big swim baits, I went to my local tackle shop, which is now running Douglas rods. And they hooked me up with the Abu Garcia Veritas rods. I'm always bad pronouncing that rod's name. But anyways, I got that rod. It's 7/11 heavy fast action. It's rated up to I think 3 ounces. Mind you, this Douglas rod is rated up to 6 ounces, and it's an inch longer. And it weighs half of what that Abu Garcia Veritas rod weighs. Half. I couldn't even believe it. I'm like, there is no way this is a stiffer, stronger, longer rod. And can not only is it longer, but is able to handle like 3 or 4 ounces heavier than the Veritas rods. And it's about half the weight of that rod.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I hear that a lot too from, you know, just customers in general, people that have never used our rods that put them in their hand. They say the same thing that, man, this is the lightest rod I've ever felt.
Mm-hmm.
And really that all comes down to the componentry we use to make the rods. We don't cheap out on anything. I mean, we use the nicest components you can get and the nicest materials to build these rods. And Fred builds every rod from the ground up. Like a lot of rod companies, what they'll do is they'll have one or two blanks and then they'll adapt that to, you know, mm-hmm. their 6 to 8 different rods that they make. We don't do that, Douglas. Every single rod that we make is literally built from the ground up. And Fred is, you know, he's a crazy mastermind. You know, like he's using formulas and all kinds of, you know, field testing to make sure that what he puts out is the absolute best that he can build.
That's interesting. So let's talk about the construction of these rods. I don't know if you're familiar with the process that he does it, but like, what are the materials they use in the blanks, and how do they create the blank itself?
Yeah. So I don't know a ton, just being, you know, relatively new there. I do know like the materials we use to make the rods. It's all graphite and carbon fiber. The LRS has a little bit more graphite in it, and then the Matrix has a little bit more carbon fiber. And I think that's why you see that the Matrix is a little bit lighter than the LRS, mm-hmm. even though they're both, you know, insanely light rods. And I'm not 100% on how he goes about, you know, building those blanks from the ground up. Maybe we'll have to get him on one of these segments,
yeah,
you know, and
that'd be cool.
And hear from the man himself. I don't want to, you know, relay the wrong information just because. he'd probably get mad at me if I said something and it wasn't correct. So
no, that's perfect though, because I don't know if we talked about that in the last segment we did, talking about Douglas. But yeah, you mentioned graphite and carbon mixed for the LRS, and the same for the X Matrix, but there's more carbon in the X Matrix.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. That's interesting.
Yep.
I didn't realize they had the carbon in the LRS. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I don't know if you have kind of noticed it, but I tend to see that the Matrix, every rod model is a little bit different, but the Matrix to me seemed to be a little bit stiffer, whereas mm-hmm. the LRS is a little bit whippier.
Yep.
And I think, again, that's just because of the blend of materials. And it's funny because some of our models, like I'll like the LRS version more than the Matrix, and then other models, I like the Matrix more. So it's kind of interesting.
I'm gonna have to pick your brain on that because I was wanting to switch over to all X Matrix, but that might not be the smart move. Sounds like.
Yeah. The biggest thing is you just gotta play with the rods, and that's why it's great that we're dealer only, because you can go into a shop and a lot of them, if you have a good relationship with them, they might have a demo rod that they'll let you go play with for the day and then come back and buy it. But I'm out there in the factory whenever I'm bored, man. I'm out there out back, playing with rods and seeing which one I'm going to get next.
Heck yeah.
Let me ask you this, Caleb, and kind of put you on the spot. Like, I know Douglas is big on the Northeast New York. Are they made in the U.S.?
They're actually made overseas. We're hoping to change that. Pretty much every rod company is made overseas. And we're hoping within the next, 5 years or so, we can move them over, back home here and hopefully over to Buffalo, New York. But it's just really tough with how manufacturing set up. I mean, it's just so much more expensive. So we're just trying to figure out how to make it work into our business model. But we do, we really want to have them be American made.
Cool. And let me ask you this, because I know, like I said, it's very popular in the Northeast. Texas, being from Texas, not a lot of people know Douglas rods. So the first thing that comes to mind is, well, if I'm going to buy a high-end rod, why am I going to buy a rod that I'm not familiar with? Because Douglas rod is up and coming at this point. Like I said, it's taken over in the Northeast, and it's soon to be nationwide taking everything. Once discover how great... And compared to other great rod companies out there, I mean, you're gaining a lot of bang for the buck. Why do people that don't know Douglas rods, why should they consider Douglas rod versus just the only, pretty much, there's only about two or three other companies out there that make, I think, comparable rods to Douglas rods out there, but why should people consider as a sales manager? What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, Douglas, like we're a newer company. We started in 2014 and we're all anglers and we want to make, the best product we can. And we want to innovate and make products that aren't even out there, And so we're really at the forefront of designing these new rods using newer technologies to design them and create an amazing product. And so, you can use the same old brands that have always been out there, or you could hop on board with an up and coming, hot new brand that's going to be doing big things in the next couple of years. We're also, a small company that we pride ourselves in our customer service and our warranty policy. I think that warranty policy is a huge reason to choose Douglas over some of these other bigger brands that have kind of, corporatized a little bit. And like, if you want to talk to customer service, you're on hold for 20 minutes and you might not, it's not very personable. And like, if your rod breaks, you got to send it to them and it might take 3 weeks for them to process it. And then they make you pay and then they send it back. And it's just a hassle for us. We're a small company and you want to talk to us, you can call me on my cell phone anytime and I'll talk fishing with you anytime or answer any of your questions about rods. Our warranty policy is, in my opinion, the best in the industry. If you break one of our rods and it's your fault, $50 plus the shipping and handling costs, and we're going to send you a new rod. If it's a defect, no questions, $0, we're going to send you a new rod. Mm-hmm. And defects do happen. We see it occasionally. And when we do, especially if it's, multiple times, we'll investigate that whole batch and make sure, we take off any that are bad. But I think, that's the biggest thing is we're a smaller company. We're up and coming. We're innovating, using the newest technologies, and we're growing and doing big things.
And that's pretty impressive. You saying Douglas started in 2014, that's been 7 years, right? Something like that.
Yep.
I've had friends, I'll mention Douglas and they're like, oh, fly fishing. Yeah. I'm like, oh, they're making bass stuff too. And then their eyes light up. They're like, are you serious? They make some great fly rods. I'm like, they make some great bass rods too. But I have friends that are like, they want a Douglas fly fishing rod. And then when I said that, they're like, now I want a bass rod.
And I'm going to change that in the next 2 years. I promise, because everyone knows Douglas for their fly rods. I mean, the fly rods have exploded in popularity in the last couple of years, and the bass rod, the conventional, the spinning and casting, they're next. It's going to happen in the next few years. So again, you asked why I choose Douglas over another brand. I mean, if you don't choose it now, in 3 years, everyone else is going to be using them, and you're going to be like, yeah, man, I should have got on it earlier.
It doesn't hurt to have big Bassmaster Elite Pros using them right now, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're just putting them to the test on the Elite Series and the MLF, yep, you know, Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit. And which one?
Garrett Paquette, is that what his name is?
Yeah, we have Garrett Paquette on the Elite Series, and then we have Jimmy Reese over on MLF.
Yeah.
And then we have a variety of opens anglers and, you know, anglers all throughout the ranks, BFL anglers, etc. And we're hoping to add a couple more to the regiment here too within the next year or so. So
heck yeah, that's awesome.
That talking a little bit about their spinning. Not spinning, I'm sorry, the fly fishing rods. That new Sky G, God, that is an amazing fly fishing rod.
Oh,
I'm not that big in fly fishing, but even talking to expert fly fishing, they've been asking me, do you carry the Sky G? I'm like, oh, no, I don't. I have a few demos, but they absolutely love that new Sky G. And it's I think it's won awards by Yellowstone Anglers, fly fishing angler, something like that. Mm-hmm. That's a great rod.
Yeah, we just won that with our 6-weight rod, that Yellowstone Anglers Award, and we won it. I think it was last year we won it with the 5-weight. Hopefully I said those right. I don't do it much with the fly side of things at Douglas, but you're exactly right. I mean, our fly rods are unreal, and that's an example of like the new technology that we're using and developing for our rods. Fred Contawi, He took a kind of a gamble, and he put a new material in the Sky G series that no one has ever used on a rod before. It's called graphene, and that really is what makes that Sky G, you know, different than any other rod on the market. And that's why everyone's raving about them and has to have one, because it literally, you can't buy a rod like that on the market. We're the only company using graphene in our fly rods. And, it's actually funny because I was, you know, I'm supposed to be selling the spinning and casting rods, but I had visited one of our accounts a few weeks ago, and one of the employees was like, hey, man, you got one of those Sky Gs? I'll buy it off you right now. And I was like, wow, that was an easy sale.
That's awesome. Well, that kind of reminds me, I was going to ask a question when we were talking about the materials.
Yeah.
Is Douglas the only ones using carbon in their rods right now?
I believe there's a lot of other companies also using carbon fiber. I don't think we're the only ones. No,
I haven't come across a rod that has carbon fiber in it. So that's why I was asking.
Okay.
But, there was another thing too. Oh, the lipless, crankbait rod or lipless vibration rod. When people think about lipless and crankbaits, they immediately go to moderate action glass rods.
Yeah.
What would you tell them to make them go towards the Douglas rod and not go for a glass rod?
I mean, the biggest thing is they just have to feel it for themselves and, you know, go out and fish with it for a day and form their own opinions. I've personally never been much of a glass rod user, so I wish I could answer it better, but I just don't have a ton of experience with glass rods.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of guys prefer them for crankbaits. You know exactly why that is that those guys do?
I've never used a glass rod either, but Armando might know. I don't know.
I've used the glass rods, and since I started using the X Matrix, I got rid of all my glass rods just because I don't see the benefit. I mean, I could see the benefit of it before I got into Douglas rods, but then I was like, no, I don't. There's no point. I mean, this supersedes whatever a fiberglass rod was gonna do.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like, I think a lot of it. I mean, and it's really is what other people, what everybody. It's like, let me put it this way. It's like a work of art, you know. You might find a work of art where to you that's priceless, and to somebody else that may be trash. Not to say that any rod out there is trash, much less Douglas rod, but it just comes down to confidence and preference. You know, anglers, whether it's kayak anglers, bank fishermen, you know, boat anglers, we get picky, man. We get picky. We get, you know, once you find a confidence, whether it's a bait, a rod, or a reel, there's come hell or high water, you're going to stick to that, you know?
Yeah. That's
and a good point. To me, it's one of the things, it's just a lot lighter, a lot stiffer. And it's just the parabolical bend on that X matrix. Me and Bailey Eichbred, used to talk a lot about that on my podcast, where we talk about what's the preference when you look for like a chatterbait rod. A lot of them want fast action rod on a chatterbait. I don't like a fast action rod on a chatterbait.
Yeah.
I think because of the dynamics of that bite, whereas the chatterbait is moving fast, and that it, you know, especially like a jackhammer, it tends to dart and have erratic movement, same as a I'm sorry, as a square bill or a crankbait. There's a chance that bass is not going to get that clean bite on it. You know, he might kind of miss it. And if you get a fast action rod, it kind of pulls it out of his mouth before it can even like latch onto it. You know, if he didn't bite it, you know, perfectly. So I like the X matrix in the sense the moderate or moderate fast action gives you more of a little bit more of a room for error, not only for you, you know, maybe not the hook set, the perfect hook set, but maybe not the perfect bite.
Yeah, yeah.
From that chatterbait or that crankbait bite, you know, because again, just the movement, it's an erratic movement on a fast movement, erratic movement on a bait. There's a good chance that bass is not going to hit it cleanly. Yeah, so absolutely. It improves you. It gives you more of a bigger room for error. On my previous rods, and I'm going on a tangent here, I don't want to take too much because we want to hear from you, but real quickly, like I've never had on a cheaper rod, I've never had a catch where that fish just like on the top of his mouth, perfect hook set, other than that. It's always been that. But yeah. When I do like the X matrix, I've had a couple of times where it's just like very thin skin. And I think the reason for that is because of that parabolical bend gives you that room for error. If it didn't catch it clean, you still have a chance of landing that bass because of that bend. Where if it's a stiffer, cheaper rod, a fiberglass rod, then that thing is just going to get ripped out of its mouth because it doesn't have that bend. That's my two cents on it.
No, that's a great point. And Fred really does pride himself in designing a rod that's not only going to get you the bites, but it's going to help you land the fish too.
Yeah.
Like you're describing, like every rod is designed so that, you know, they don't come off. And that's great that you're experiencing that firsthand. The last thing I just want to say about that fiberglass real quick is, I mean, I always thought glass was kind of heavy, really, you know, that's kind of why I didn't like it, but
yeah.
We do have, for the people that like glass at Douglas, we do have a couple rods that are glass. One rod, actually, it's pretty unique. It's the 704M. It's one of our cranking rods. The top third of that rod is glass, and then it transitions to graphite for the rest of the rod. So it's actually a mixture. Yeah, it's a mixture of both.
704M, is that the casting version?
The casting version, yeah.
Okay, I have one of those. I did not know that.
That actually has some glass on the tip. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah. I do like that rod because that's what I'm currently using to throw my squirbills.
Yeah. Yeah. You might have to pick up a 763, man.
I know.
That thing's deadly.
Yeah, it is.
I do want one. That sounds interesting. I do want to go back to the 683 that you mentioned. That's a newer rod, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just came out.
Okay. Why 6.8? Because I know a lot of companies don't have a 6.8 rod. That's pretty unique.
Yeah, I think Fred was just trying to kind of fill a gap because we have the 6.6 rod, the sawed-off shotgun rod, and then we have the 6.10 rods. And like you said, no other rod company makes that. So I think he just wanted to, you know, fill in that gap there between 6.6 and 6.10. And I don't think he'd necessarily design the rod with, like, it has to be this size. I think he just, you know, was making it, you know, for a purpose, and it just so happened that it came out that length. But he might be able to give you a better answer on that. But
I describe Frey Kontai as a mad scientist that nobody is checking on him. Like, really, with this mad scientist to build Frankenstein because he has so many rods.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I was talking to the president of the TCU, Texas Christian University, their bass fishing team, Noah, I think he's the president. He's a huge fan of Douglas Rod. And he tells me one of the things. He's like, dude, you guys have, the lineup that we have, I don't know every rod company out there, but I'm willing to say we probably, when it comes to conventional bass fishing rods, both spinning and bait casting, not even talking about the fly fishing rods, but I think we have to have Douglas has to have like the biggest lineup of technique specific rods.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them. It's kind of overwhelming when I'm looking at it. I'm like, what do I get?
Yeah. And we're working on redesigning our website right now. That's that's something really big that we've been working on. I can't put a timeline on it, but that's gonna help kind of clear up some of that confusion. So we're gonna make it way easier for the consumers to go onto our website and be able to kind of step through those so that it only brings up the few rods they're gonna apply to the technique they're looking to do. So that should help with that a little bit, because it can be overwhelming, when you have that many rods and you're like, whoa, I don't know which one to buy. So
buy all of them.
Yeah, there you go.
That's funny. How much would it cost to buy all of them?
I don't even know, but thousands. Probably. I'm guessing, maybe 10,000. I don't know.
That's funny.
Yeah. But and people, it's funny you mentioned about how Fred's a madman and he, he has all these rods and other people at Douglas actually get mad at him because they're like, really, Fred, you're making another rod, man. Like, don't you have enough?
That's
and,
funny.
But it's like, it's really important to have those technique specific rods because you might have a scenario where you need that extra fast tip in that certain length, or you might need that little bit heavier power. So. I think it's great, really, and I think it's another thing that's kind of unique about Douglas, because like you said, there's not really many other rod companies that are making that many rods.
Right. I recently came across a company, I won't name their names, but they pride themselves on not having as many models, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, why? they want each rod to be like versatile for different techniques. I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
No, me neither. Why?
That's
probably
not,
because
right.
It probably ahead, because it's easier for them, from like a marketing side, like just a whole, it just streamlines their business, So that's my guess as to why they're marketing it like that. But I personally think it's way better to have more options and more technique specific rods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Douglas is, it's not for your kind of like, I'll go fishing once a year angler. Mm. It's a lot of companies out there just want to apply to the masses, the typical dad's taking the kids fishing and he goes to Bass Pro Shop thinking that anybody Bass Pro Shop knows anything about fishing. But when you were up to your eyes in fishing, like Brad, I know you can relate. Caleb, you can relate to that. We're up to eyeballs in fishing. Then you can tell it's like, yeah, I need technique specific. There's a lot of things I'm not of knowledge that you understand why it is that Douglas have so many in their lineup. And why is it on this industry, it is important to have that.
Yeah, that's actually a really great point, and you're exactly right. I mean, our rods really are designed for serious fishermen, that want to have the nicest and best performing gear. I mean, not to say that a weekend guy isn't going to pick up one of our rods, because maybe someone that just wants to step their game up and get a rod that's going to catch more fish, mm-hmm. I've had a couple people that switch from, they don't fish a ton, but they said, I'm going to try this out. You've been talking it up so much. And I've had other people that have just fished with me and I've let them use my rods. And then they're like, all right, I got to go buy one of these. Cause then they see just like how you and I experienced from switching from a cheap rod company, mm-hmm. they experienced that too. And they're like, all right, now I see what you're talking about.
Yeah. And that reminds me of one of my followers on Instagram. Cause I got him to, I recommended the LRS to him and he bought one, He loves that thing. Shout out to Not Yet Bassmaster on Instagram, by the way.
That's a cool name.
He's a cool guy.
Sounds like an honest guy.
But he caught his first fish on the LRS rod a couple weeks ago, and he was pumped. That's awesome. Heck yeah, man, that's cool.
Yeah, I've been turning all my buddies on to them, and they're texting me pictures every day. Like, dude, I love these rods. I'm buying six more.
Heck yeah, that's cool.
So it's awesome, yeah. And another thing that we like to do too is we like to take input from the people using our rods. Like we're not like some company that's stuck up and like we're gonna make this and you're gonna like it or tough luck. No, we wanna. If there's something that you want to see changed, like mm-hmm. we're going to listen to that. And if we think it makes sense or we're like, oh man, like we should have thought of that, then mm-hmm. we're going to do it. And a couple of examples are like we switched the hook keeper on a couple of our rods. Mm-hmm. Like this was like years ago, but one of our pros was like, hey man, I'd really like to see this just like slid down a couple inches, And so we mm-hmm. did it. And another example too is we're actually switching a lot of our rods over to the grips where you can feel the blank. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys have any of our newer rods yet that have that on there. Like the 610, the newer 610s, we're switching over to that grip now where you can actually feel the rod blank.
So it don't have EVA foam on it?
It does still have the EVA foam, but on like the back side of the rod, it's like cut out.
And
the blank exposed. Like there's some other companies are starting to do that. And it's something that we saw like other companies doing. And we had a couple of our pros talk about it. And, it really what that does is it allows you to get a little bit more sensitivity because mm-hmm. the blank is what's giving you that extra sensitivity and that touch. Some guys like to say, oh, like cork grips are more sensitive than EVA. And I personally think that's not true at all. I think it's the blank that gives you more sensitivity. I think cork is really just aesthetic. I personally like EVA better, but that's why we made that switch to that is because like a lot of drop shot guys are, they like that because when they're holding the rod in their hand, and it's a really light bite day, they feel like they can feel more bites from smallmouth with that exposed blank grip. So that's why we're doing that.
That's a good point. My rods are that way too. I do have the older version or not the older version, the newer version.
Yeah. Where they're cut out. Awesome. Yeah. We started switching those over. Like I think it was last year or the year before.
Gotcha.
That's a good point because I know here in Texas, and I think it applies a lot to the southern region anglers, they love those corks. They're like, I've gone to, when I go into Fun and Sun Tackle and, say what rods you want to order from Douglas and all that, this is like, man, six out of 10 rods that I sell here are just corks. And I hang around that tackle shop a lot and I've seen where people call, he'll pull him on speaker, says, hey man, look into this. You have this rod? No, I have this one. Is it a cork handle? No, never mind. I don't want it. And it's aesthetically pleasing, all that, which only lasts you like a week because then it gets all, dark, and then it looks like after a few weeks, depending how much it looks like an EVA grip or foam. Why should people consider the EVA grip more than the cork?
Okay, so I have a lot of people ask me that and, talk about the differences between them. And in my opinion, so EVA, the reasons I like it better are it's lighter, it's mm-hmm. easier to clean, and it just feels better in my hand. Mm-hmm. Cork, it, like you said, it looks better maybe like right when you open it, but in a few weeks it gets all grimy. It's tough to clean. It's not very durable. It doesn't hold up really well. It's a little bit heavier. To me, I think most people that prefer cork, it's just because it's what they're used to. It's mm-hmm. just, what they've always used and what they know. And a lot of people are very resistant to change. And I think fishermen especially can be kind of resistant to change. Myself included sometimes, mm-hmm. you have like your confidence techniques that you're dead set on, but then maybe a new tactic, hits the market. And I've been kind of resistant to making some changes, but my rule of thumb is if I get beat in a tournament on it, then I go and learn it. I think that, EVA blows cork out of the water personally. I think anyone who really uses rods will agree with me on that. I think most of the people that are raving about cork, they're not really putting those rods to the test, just my mm-hmm. opinion.
Is cork more, it's building a rod with a cork handle more expensive than building one with an EVA foam? Did you know? I don't even know. I'm honestly asking.
Yeah, the cork tends to be a little bit more expensive. They also make a synthetic cork, which we used on a few of our rods as well, which is a little bit cheaper than the cork. But yeah, cork does tend to be a little bit more expensive.
And that's the point that I wanted to make, because I think a lot of kayak anglers, like you said, we get stubborn about it. And I tell people, it's like, no, I want a cork handle. Do you realize it's heavier? You're adding, which is not a lot, granted, it's not a lot, but you know, what I love about Douglas, like I mentioned with my favorite big swim bait rod, is it's so lightweight. It's just when you have something that that you can only measure in ounces, small details make a big difference. And when you look at DP, why would you get – it's only going to look good the first time when you first take it out. As soon as you take that plastic wrap and you start using it and you start catching bass, it's gonna go – dark and grimy. Mm-hmm. It looks gonna look bad in a few weeks. It's more expensive on your rod. It has no tactical advantage over an EVA grip. If anything, it lessens the product because it's not as sensitive as the EVA grip phone, and it doesn't last more. Like, it makes no sense.
Exactly.
To prefer this cork over EVA foam, because it doesn't make anything other than it looks nice on the display case, but that's it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad you guys segued into this grip talk, because that's exactly where I was going. And then Armando just flowed right into it. I like it.
Watch out, Trash Panda.
No, I was going to bring it up because the thing I like about my 704F is the I think it's 704F, is the EVA foam handles above the reel. I like holding it up there.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And same thing with my 610. I know the grip isn't as big. It's about half the size of that one. But I still hold it up on the rod above the reel with like a finger on the rod.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. I do the same thing. And it's funny because like everyone has their own like ways of, you know, mm-hmm. holding their gear. And like I have a buddy who's just getting into fishing. And he's looking at me like, is this how you hold it? I'm like, I don't know, man. Just hold it however you feel comfortable holding it, you know? But, yeah, I agree.
The first time I had one in my hands, I grabbed it right there. I was like, this is nice.
Just feels like right. That. Yeah. And going back to, like, what you were saying, Armando, about the, like, how the lightness of the EVA, even though it's very – it's only a small difference. Small differences can make a very, very big deal on a rod, especially with like the balance of the rod. Like mm-hmm. some of our rods, if you were to put a cork grip on it, it might throw off the balance a little bit to where the action wouldn't be quite right, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when Fred's designing these rods, I mean, he's taking into account like the weight of that handle as he's designing it and making sure everything is as balanced and complete as possible.
It's interesting. I forgot what I was going to say.
What's your favorite rod, Caleb, for Douglas?
Oh, that's a tough one, man. Literally every new rod that I put in my hands, I fall in love with. And every day I'm just becoming – every week I become obsessed with a different rod. But if I were to choose for spinning rods, I'd have to say that 610 3XF in the Matrix is my favorite spinning rod that we offer. It's just an amazing drop shot rod, and you know, it's just smallmouth rod in general. Mm-hmm. And then on the casting side, I'm gonna have to go with the 745. That's just I it's like my jig rod. You know, it's my go-to jig rod, but it's so versatile. You can use it for top water. You can use it for big spinner baits. I mean, it's just an awesome rod. And that was one of the ones that I was, you know, putting to work yesterday with that jig. And it just has so much sensitivity in the tip where you literally feel everything. Yeah. I mean, I can feel as that jig like crawls up the rock and then drops into the crack. I can feel when a fish, you know, comes up and taps it. Like sometimes what we were having was the fish were like attacking it, but then not getting it. It was like weird. Like they were being aggressive at first and then they'd shut off. And like, you could literally feel that. And So those are probably my two favorites so far, but that 763 is, is slowly becoming my favorite casting rod now too, just because it's insane, man.
Damn, I have to get you, bro. The one I use the most is the 6103 XF.
Yeah,
I throw the Ned Rig on it. I've thrown drop shot on it. Anything light, I mean, eighth ounce, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My casting rod, probably my 704 M.
Crankbait rod.
Yeah, and I think knowing that there's glass in it makes me feel better about using crankbaits on it too now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
I think I it's hard for me to pick one, but I love chatterbaits, and the one that I have, like, two for chatterbaits. One is the 610 that I can skip chatterbaits underneath docks and, you know, long hang branches or trees, whatever. And then I have the 7.4, which I use for chatterbaits more like long casting. One thing that I love it is just like you can, doesn't matter how slow I reel in that chatterbait, I can still feel that vibration. It is crazy how sensitive it is. I challenge anybody, put down your favorite rods, try one of these rods, because the sensitivity of it is just like amazing. And when it comes to chatterbait, I think it's so important, because a lot of times when you're retrieving it, the fish will, you know, will gulp on it, but it'll keep swimming your way, so you don't feel the bite. And Russ Snyder and Jody Queen, we had them on the reel down a couple of months ago, and they were talking about the different setup for chatterbaits. One of the things they mentioned is a lot of times what they learn is if you're on a chatterbait, straight retrieval, and you don't feel that vibration, set the hook. Even if you don't feel tension in the line, set the hook, and as soon as the fish has got it in its mouth and it's just swimming your way, that's why you don't feel the tension. But you stop, and with that rod, it is, I mean, you really feel any little difference on the vibration. It's like, okay, either he has it on his mouth or he just, like, you know, brushed up against something or just kind of grabbed the tail of it, whatever it is. It gives you such an advantage. And the big swim bait rod, I also like to use it for, like, jigging for stripers and hybrids. And my personal best on a hybrid, I actually caught it last year. It was a 23-inch. I didn't weigh it because I usually don't hit a weight scale. But it had to be somewhere in between, I'm going to say, 8 pounds, although I think it's big. I just don't want to exaggerate. But when I was reeling it in, I didn't feel like I had – that was not my first bite on that rod, but my first big fish, big bite on that rod. And I was blown away when I saw the fish, because I never expected it to be that heavy. And it's because that rod, the big swim bait rod, is so strong, and it's, but yet so sensitive and light, that I would have never guessed it was that big of a fish.
That's awesome.
It's just so much confidence.
That's awesome.
You mentioned setting the hook when you don't feel vibration. I did that this weekend on a stump.
I've done that time.
Well, here's the end of the story. I start doing that, and it comes loose, and then a fish smacks it.
Yep. I had that happen. I had something insane where, I'm sure you guys have had it happen where you're snagged and the fish actually eats it off the snag and frees you.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to get the snag off, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, I got one.
I had a
5.5 pound smallmouth do that on Lake Ontario in a tournament last year. It was insane.
Wow.
It's crazy how much that happens.
Yeah. It might have been what happened to me, but I don't know. I just felt I just felt weight after I got it unsnagged.
Yeah.
It's funny. Well, we're winding down, man. We're winding down.
Yeah, you've been sitting here listening to us talking up these rods, you know, for the last 45 minutes. And like you guys were saying, I mean, the biggest thing is just go out and try one for yourself. I mean, anyone who I've talked to about these rods who's been on the fence, once I finally convinced them to try one or I put one in their hand, they were like, all right, like this is the real deal. You know, the rods speak for themselves. You know, like it's easy for me to sell them because they're so good. It makes my job easy. And I quite frankly, wouldn't be able to sell a product that I didn't believe in. I would never work for a company that made bad rods. And I truly believe that Douglas is making, you know, one of the best rods on the market right now. Sure, there's other companies that are making good rods, but Douglas is right there with them, and we're doing it at a great cost. We're doing amazing things. You know, we have a lot of big stuff in the works, and there's a lot of big things coming in the next couple of years. So I'm super excited to be a part of it. We only sell through dealers, so go check out our dealer locator on our website and see where you can buy one locally. We're also now on Tackle Warehouse, so go to tacklewarehouse.com and go pick up a couple to try out. You won't be disappointed, I promise.
Yeah.
Fun and Some Tackle for those that live in Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth, Metroplex. By the way, since I'm from Texas, and I know most of my listeners on my podcast are from Texas, we have the Bass Nation, the kayak series, both of the kayak series and the bass boat. We got the classic here at Possum Kingdom for kayak, and I think it's Ray Roberts for the boat, bass boat. I don't follow bass boat that much, but I think that's also both of them are going to be here. This is going to be the expo. Douglas, you coming?
Absolutely. We will be there.
Sweet.
So for all those Texans, they check out the Douglas booth and, you know, get a feel for them. Go try them out. It's going to be – that's just around the corner. What, June, first weekend of June? No.
Yeah, it's about a month away.
About a month away, right?
Yeah, month and a week or so.
So something like that, yeah. So go check them out. Well, if you're from Texas, go to that expo. You're going to be the difference.
I'll be there. Fred, our rod designer, is going to be there. And our head of sales, Kevin's going to be there. The mad scientist will be there. So you can come pick his brain.
Kate will be here.
Dang, man. Now I wish I was going to be there. That's awesome. No, I won't be there. But if anybody in the Ohio area wants to check out these rods, I have a lineup of rods here. You guys can come and check out at my house. So just hit me up. But, yeah, man, I think we're wrapping this up now. You got any shout-outs, anything you'd like to let the listeners know?
Well, I'm going to have to do a shameless plug real quick. I have my own YouTube channel as well, CK Fishing. So check me out on YouTube. It's a newer channel, and I'm trying to get more into the regular uploads, but I post a lot of tournament videos, just fun fishing videos in general. I'm actually coming out with a new series this year called the Grind Series, where I'm going to document my fishing, the BFL tournament series. I'm fishing all the Northeast BFLs, and I'm going to document just the life of, you know, being a young angler, trying to make it in bass fishing, and showing all the ups and downs, you know, the setbacks, the long days, and the travels, and all everything. Just going to put it all out there and try to be as honest as possible and just show, you know, other young anglers out there what it's like to try to make it.
Heck yeah, man. That's awesome. I'll subscribe after we get off here for sure.
Hey, I appreciate it, man.
And for those watching on the YouTube channel, we got the ticker on the bottom. You can follow Caleb at Caleb Conrad Fishing on Instagram.
So yeah. And then my YouTube is CK Fishing.
There you go. Well, man, we appreciate you coming on the show to talk about Douglas Rods. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Had a blast.
Yep. Armando, thanks for filling in, man. I really appreciate it.
No problem. My pleasure.
Yep.
Hope I made Trash Panda proud.
Oh, you did. He's probably sitting at home enjoying time with his
probably
family.
Word is like Armando's going to take my spot. Gonna up my game. Nah, kidding.
Nah. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in this week. We'll see you guys next week. Don't know who the guest is yet, but tight line, smooth paddling.
Go check it out.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, The Angler Button, button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.